The following episode contains sensitive material, including firsthand accounts of sexual abuse against children. Listener discretion is advised. What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning. This week's interview is a little bit different than some of the interviews that I've done in the past, because this is the first time that I am doing the interview in person. And the reason I'm telling you this is for two reasons. First, I want you to know that it's not just me in that room. I am there. The brother and sister that I'm interviewing are there, but also her husband and his girlfriend. And when you have five people in a room, that's a lot of emotion. And at almost every point during this interview, someone's eyes were filling up with tears. And I think I've never considered the impact an in-person interview would have on everything. But the second reason that I'm telling you this is because there is so much that you as a listener are missing. And I so wish that you could have been there, because you won't know it. Like, the way he rubs his sister's back when she starts to cry, or the fist bump he gives her at the very end of the interview. This story is an extremely emotional one, and oh my God. It has so much bad in it, but there's also such a beautiful story at the same time between these two siblings. And I just hope that, like, even though you can't see it with your eyes, you can still hear it, because that is the part of this story that will stick with me forever. This is The Stepfather. Tell me about each of you guys, who you were as kids growing up. What kind of personalities did you have?
I was pretty outgoing. I was always outside, and I definitely made friends with, like, all different sorts of people. I didn't follow just one group of anybody, and I really like being outside. I really like playing sports, and I also had the other side of me where I liked playing video games, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. I still wear Pokemon shirts to this day. Like, I just have fun with so many things. And I found that, like, through the amount of travel and times that we moved as a kid, it didn't give me a one area where I felt most comfortable. I, like, could bounce around, like, fairly to any group and feel just equally awkward everywhere, and that was totally fine.
Would you say that you were pretty easygoing, though?
Yeah, for sure. I still am. Like, for the most part, I, like, don't really feel the need to speak up or, like, go against the plan unless it's, like, really against what I want to do. But for the most part, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, let's just go here, go there, whatever you want to do, and we can figure it all out. So I feel like I'm pretty easygoing.
And you?
I actually feel like as a kid, I was very, like, shy and timid and kind of always hid behind my brother in a way. And I'm nervous.
You're okay.
I was very different than how I am as an adult. I remember being really young, feeling like I didn't fit in anywhere and just feeling very different and just, yeah, like I, very different than him. Like, I didn't feel like I had anywhere to belong. I really struggled making friends. I remember switching classes because nobody in my class wanted to be my friend in like first grade. So yeah, very different, very different. And I very much so relied on him as like my security blanket. Like when I think of my childhood, I think of my brother and I think of, I'm gonna get all emotional already, but like he was literally like my rock. And I like slept in his bed with him for literally years because I was so scared and granted what we were going through, but you just feel safe around him, whoever you are. And I don't know.
So explain your guys' relationship, but like who has what parents?
Okay. I'm the firstborn of three. And when I was born, I didn't know my dad because of a bunch of, like, my mom didn't feel safe the way that I was conceived. There's like a lot of mystery about it. And the only thing that I do know as a fact is that my mom didn't want to be around my biological father and she didn't feel safe. So it was my mom and me until I was five. Well, until I was like three and a half, four, really, until my mom met her dad. And it was a lot of like moving around, a lot of, I don't know, like there was like no space really. And it was just like just the two of us. And it was like, it felt like survival all the time. Like I remember living in like dirty places. Like my mom was 19 when she had me. Her family shunned her for having me. And because I'm mixed race, so they just didn't want to accept that. She was kicked out. So it was a 19-year-old with a newborn. So it was like we were living in ghettos. We didn't have enough food. I like constantly tell people, like, I remember splitting a 4-piece chicken McNugget with my mom for dinner. And that's what we ate the whole day. So it was just like a completely different reality. So it was like, it was survival right away. That's like what I remember that time for sure.
Do you remember your sister being born?
Yeah, I remember, maybe not like the exact moment, but I remember like, we're pregnant, we're gonna have a baby and all of that stuff. I actually don't remember going to the hospital or anything like that, which is weird. I guess I haven't thought about it in a long time, but I definitely remember her becoming a thing. Like I remember being young and her being an infant in the house and like all of that for sure. I guess I don't exactly remember like the day, you know, but I definitely am aware of that time.
Do you remember your mom meeting her dad?
No, not really. Maybe if I try to like really delve deep into my mind, maybe, but it was such a chaotic time. And my mom definitely like, she was going through a lot trying to survive. And then she met somebody who could like give her some security. And I feel like my mom has like held on to that emotion and want to this day. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's changed at all. And I feel like she's in the same exact situation, even though like financially she's better, she's like stable, but still she feels like she can't find that within herself. So I feel like then when she met her dad, it probably happened way faster than I can remember. Mm-hmm. And it just was like a whirlwind, you know?
What do you remember growing up with your brother? What was the relationship like between your parents?
My mom and dad, I don't ever remember them together. They were divorced just as quick as they were married. So my whole life, I just remember like my mom and my brother, and then I have my dad and that side of the family. I don't have any memories having them together.
And then at what point did your mom meet your stepdad?
I think it was like third or fourth grade. And I was already not living with my mom. I used to do like winter vacations with my godparents out in Colorado. And it was like a couple of years in a row. And then this particular year, my godparents asked if I wanted to start going to school with them. And then that was going good. I was actually happy in a stable relationship with like a family, a home unit, people who were like on top of it, and two people like trying to care for a young child. And then I remember my mom calling me up and telling me that she met somebody new and that he was really awesome and that she wanted me to meet him. And I remember telling her that I wanted nothing to do with it. I was sick of like the new people, the drama, the moving around, all of the like instability. And even at that age, I remember like fighting about it. And like, I remember talking to her on the phone and like crawling underneath a bed and like hiding from the outside world during this conversation. I was just like so against it.
He's and like 9 or 10 years old during this too. Like having this conversation with our mom. Yeah. It's like mind blowing.
And I remember telling her that like I wasn't really into it. And then multiple conversations happened because my mom was like, I want you back here. I want to visit you and like see how everything's going. And then I went and visited for Christmas vacation, I believe, from school or something like that. And while I was here visiting from Colorado, she basically talked me into staying, didn't want me to go back, told me I wasn't going to go back with them. And that was it. And then it went from like a quick visit to meet somebody to like, I'm now living with them in this new place that I don't want to be in, that I thought was just going to be a vacation. And then all of a sudden, like, that's my reality. Here's like a new guy. He's going to be your new dad. And regardless of all the other crap that I've brought you through, like, this is home. You're fine. And like, just get over it.
Do you remember when he first came into the picture?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always, as far as I remember, my earliest meeting with him has always been like really uncomfortable and like really awkward. And I was, how old? I was 4.
Yeah.
3 and a half, 4 years old. And I just always remember just feeling just so, I get like really bad anxiety talking about it and like thinking about it, but just being around that man just like from the beginning. Yeah. It like haunts me. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know.
It was just like the way that he presented himself. It wasn't like.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to get into like the whole topic, but but I mean, the earliest that I remember with him, he was very like inappropriate with me. Like I remember one time we were in wherever he lived. It was like a trailer or something. And I was in the living room watching TV and my mom was showering and he walked out naked and like full naked. And I was just like, I'm 3 and a half, 4 years old and I know that's not appropriate. You know, you can tell your right from wrongs and whatever, but that's my earliest like memory of him and when that all started. Like I said, I grew up, I was very timid and shy and I wasn't like how I am now where I'm, you know, speak up for what's right. I'm 3, so that's, yeah, my earliest memory of him. And it was really fast because at the time my mom kept me from my dad, didn't want me with my dad. And so I was with her most of the time. And so, you know, it was all really fast. And like he said with like my dad, you're so young, so I feel like it happens so fast you can't process it. So, yeah, that's my earliest memories with him.
Your mom marries him, correct? Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't just, like, mm-hmm. dating or anything like that. What is your earliest memory of him starting the abuse?
I think it's just kind of what you want to define as abuse. I think because at first it was subtle for me. Like, I didn't know that situation happened with you. And I didn't know from my end, like, I've never had a dad. So then when he showed up, I feel like it was maybe subconsciously for him or whatever. It just seemed like a ploy of manipulation because, like, he knew I wanted a dad. And previous to him, my mom has dated many dudes. I've had many people presented to me as my father,
who I knew weren't like my biological father, but these were the people who were like, hey, don't worry, these are going to be your new dad. And this guy like stood out a little bit, and maybe he could feel that. So I feel like he first started subtly like just controlling things. Like at first it seemed like a parent looking out for you, but then you realize it's like you're not allowed to like do little things that you don't see as an issue, like playing with friends or having people come over or stuff like that. And then I felt like the control went from like normal things to like him controlling my mom and like the whole household, and then everything was like nothing happened without his say type of thing. And as far as like physical touching abuse, I don't think that happened with me until it was like 2 or 3 years of being around him or something like that.
I don't know. My brother and I have never talked about this, so like sitting here is like, it's crazy to listen to his story because they are so different. Like I said, he was a lot older than me when he came into the picture. I feel like for me, I was so young, so I didn't understand what was going on, and I have a lot of like really early memories of like, I'd like wake up in the middle of the night and like he'd be spooning me, and he'd have, I don't know, I'm gonna be straight up, I would have a boner and like be rubbing me, and but like you're 5 years old, so like you don't know that that's wrong, you know? And like, yeah, I don't know. And he would always be like, you're just so pretty and you're just so beautiful and you're my daughter and this and that. And he'd like put my hair behind my ears and like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like those are like my earliest memories of like all of that starting.
I agree though, like to be completely honest and frank, like you would think, and maybe I'm just like, whatever, naive, and I didn't really understand. Like I knew a lot of the things that he was doing was completely inappropriate, but for some reason I didn't want to acknowledge like I was being like touched or molested as a kid. And I didn't understand that until my girlfriend at 22 years old asked me. And like I'm 27 now, and it took me for all that time of growing up. I mean, I've lived on my own since I was really young. I've lived on the streets. I've done a lot of things, and I've come to terms with a lot of things, and acceptance has been a huge part of my growth. And so to hear at like 22, I didn't really quite understand why I hated that moment in my life so much, blew my mind. And I'm like, I may not be the most intelligent person, but I'm not slow most of the time. So it was weird for me to be like, for the first time understanding like, this happened to me, I need to face it. And like, not only do I need to face it, I need to like come to terms with that's what happened. And yeah, it was subtle in a way that like I didn't understand it. Like she was saying, like she woke up with him spooning her. Like I played sports all the time, so he would like rub my legs because I was sore, you know? So like it would start with something like that. So it seemed like, oh, well, like this is starting because out of love and like wanting to like help me like heal almost. So it was like,
it wasn't like he was straight up with it like I'm gonna touch, like it wasn't like that. He knew to like essentially gain our trust, and like I say trust loosely, but find that way to like manipulate us to where we in a way like would be confused by it because he was our father figure, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, it's just crazy.
I'm curious as to, you know, with everything that you guys had been through and, you know, the stuff that was going on and the fact that you guys didn't have like a stable male in your lives, it's almost like, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, but it's almost like, well, here is somebody. Here's yeah. somebody who's in our lives, who is here for us, who is here for our mom, who's offering, you know, maybe somewhat of stability, of, mm-hmm. you know, financial stability, yeah. a home, a roof, you know, especially you didn't have that.
No, well, that was the other thing too, is like, we went from like, it's weird to me. I don't know. I don't want to like put my mom on blast, but like, I feel like my mom's completely delusioned about that time. Like, even yesterday we were talking about my upbringing and she tried to act like we weren't impoverished and that we never were on food stamps and that it was only a brief time in my history, when I know for a fact that's not true. And it's like a weird thing, because if she can't like face these little things, like the big stuff, I know that she's like put somewhere in her mind that where she doesn't need to think about it, because we didn't live solid before we met him. We didn't have good stuff. And my mom definitely latched onto that. Like, he gave us security. Not only did we have like a nice place, we lived in like a 2-story house with like, you know what I mean? It went from like, let's share some McDonald's to like, you're going to have your own room. You're going to have a room with a bed in it. Like, we're going to like have food all the time in the pantry. When you're 16, we're going to have a car for you. You know what I mean? And like, it was a whole reality that got wrapped into it. And it was like, this has to be better for us, right? Like, look at us. We like have so many things that we've always wanted, and it came with this person. So, which also helped with my own delusion of like, what the hell is going on? Like, should I trust this guy? He is bringing a lot of good things. Is it bad? Am I, you know what I mean? It was like, you always think that like, I mean, we all see these situations in movies or whatever, and you're like, dude, it's so clear, you know, like, why are you like falling for this? But when you're a naive kid and you like want a real family and it feels like it's right there, like, it was easy to, yeah, it was easy to be like, this is good for us. This is what we want. So yeah, there was a lot that came with him. And yeah, the main thing was like, ease of living seemed to definitely be there.
So one of the things that I've learned from doing this podcast is the fact that sometimes people's intentions don't always come across in the best way. And so hearing this and hearing about your mom and stuff, like, it's so hard to even try and wrap your mind around it. But I'm sure that there's a part of her that was like, oh my God, I'm giving my kids this amazing life that I was never going to be able to give them before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, do I think that she knows about everything that went on? Probably not everything, but did she have a good thing? And it's, I think you just kind of want to turn like a blind eye to it, because you're like, these kids would never have this life without this man.
I agree with that. However, the little bit of information we haven't told you is he is a convicted child molester and spent 10 years in prison for this. My mom married him knowing this information.
Yeah.
So as much as my mom likes to turn a blind eye, she knew that not only has he done it, he's been convicted, and he was a level 2 when he was released, which means that psychologically his chance of recreating the situations again were higher than most. There's 3 levels. 3 means like, that's like when you can go on the internet and they like show you where all of the people are at. That's a level 3. A level 2 is like, they're gonna tell you work and they're gonna tell some of the people around you, but it's not that big of a deal. A level 1 is they don't think that you're ever gonna do it again. It was a one-time thing.
That's like, yeah. But then in her mind also, you'll hear her talk about, well, he was just a level 2 sex offender.
Yeah, it was justifications. And even last year we talked to my mom about it. All of the kids have come forward and just basically told her, at least on that aspect, she needs to take her blinders off. These things happened. And she played a role in that. She willingly brought us into the lion's den. And I understand her wanting to give us a better life. But even in us coming forth, she has told me, like, I had feelings and I did ask you, and like, she did ask me, like, I remember being young and she asked me point blank, has he done anything weird? And I remember being so nervous, like, I like got dizzy, like my vision went out, I thought I was gonna puke, and I was just like, no, it's all fine, you know. And I understand, like, maybe I should have said yes, you know, but it was terrifying.
You're a kid.
It was terrifying to think, like, yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to, like, blow up this whole house situation. It's going to be, like, courts and, like, ripping away. And, like, it just seemed so scary. And I was just, like, I couldn't tell the truth at that. I was, like, frozen by fear.
I didn't know that he was a registered sex offender until a couple years ago. And our mom had told me that she didn't know until after they were going through their divorce is when she found out. And so that, like, literally yesterday morning, I found out all this backstory about him too. And I'm like, I feel like I still haven't even, like, I've been like, whoa, like, that's some heavy shit that I didn't know until literally yesterday.
Which is crazy to me because I was told it very early after they were married, not into the relationship, but my mom let me know. So it was, it makes no sense to me why that happened, why any of it was allowed, or I understand, like, why my mom would want to keep it a secret out of, like, self-conscious. She probably knew that she was making not the best decisions, but at the cost of our safety and well-being and psychological health, it didn't seem, it seems outrageous.
Well, I don't think that she's even realized truly how much her decisions with that man have affected us for the rest of our lives.
You guys know now all of the details of what he was convicted for before?
No, my mom, not all the details. Should I say what I found out yesterday about him?
Speak your truth.
So yesterday my mom was saying something about, something had happened yesterday morning and it got, you know, brought up and we were like talking about his past and basically, and I did not know this, that he has like other kids and like has pretty much lived a whole nother life. Like he was married and had three sons and a daughter and he was touching her starting at 4 months old.
Yeah, that's what got him convicted.
And I didn't know that. And it's like, it's crazy. And our mom was saying, like, there's a whole police report and there's, like, the court, whatever it is, where, you, like, you can literally read, like, her test, like, her testimony
and stuff. Freedom of Information Act. You can look
up
the...
Yeah, and I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, God, I kind of want to read it and, like, you know, but then I'm like, I feel like that would open a lot of wounds with me that I don't think I've, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, man, you're looking into the history and the acts of a monster.
Yeah.
And it's like, not only is it, it's not some fictitious character, it's like somebody that not only you know is a huge part of your upbringing and your life and your understanding. It's like with anything, you want to go take a test to know that you're like, you know, messed up or sad or whatever. And then like, yeah, you want to know how to fix it, but sometimes hearing the hard truth of what is like messing with you is really difficult to have it confirmed. Like, yep, this thing's, I don't think it's weird that it's uncomfortable for you. I think it's very normal for it to be uncomfortable for anybody who's ever gone through these situations.
Like, yeah.
Do you guys ever remember when you were young questioning or thinking to yourself, I wonder if this is happening to anyone else in the home?
No. Never.
No, me either. Like I said, I didn't... It feels silly to say, like, I didn't realize what was happening. But, like... Yeah, I didn't know it was happening to me to the extent of that it... Like, I knew I was being touched. I knew it was inappropriate. But for some reason, I didn't, like, connect. Like, I was molested. I was a little kid and I was the victim, you know? It was like, it just, yeah, it just didn't seem like I understood my own situation, so it was hard to look at anybody else's with any understanding because my own spot was like super unclear.
Well, and I feel like too, and this might not be like the politically correct way to say it, and I don't want to like offend anybody that hears like my thought process on this, but like I feel like our situation is drastically different than like, you know, a girl going to a party and getting raped, knowing like what just happened, I was just raped, and like that's sexual abuse, and like, you know what I mean, like I don't know like how to say it, but like what I'm saying, so like there's no like manipulation in a, not always, but like there's no,
yeah, you're just saying it wasn't a one-time deal.
Yeah, and yeah,
like, and like brought up in this situation and it wasn't so clear to you. Well, that's what I'm saying too. I was 22 when I like fully nailed down like, this is what happened to me. This is how I feel about it. And it's not out of like not wanting to see it, but it was just like, I knew that in my past there was a bunch of pain, a bunch of anger, and I didn't want to live my life like that anymore. And I just like shut it away. I was like, I don't see him anymore. He's not a part of my life. I'm going to live free and not let him, like, I'm not going to bring him with me every day. Like, I don't, like, when she would ask me about it originally, she was like, well, why are you getting angry? And like, why don't you want to talk about it? I'm like, 'cause it's done. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to discuss it. Like, it happened and I moved on and I'm an adult now and I don't think about him every day. So I don't want to talk to you about it right now. And then after like conversation, well, when we were on like a freaking 4-day drive from Minnesota to California when this conversation came up. So it was like 100 hours in the car together. So there was like many times where it got brought up and like we would talk about it and then let it go. And then eventually it was like, dude, okay, this is what happened to me. I need to face it. I need to accept it. And yeah, that's basically when it happened.
Well, I think too that like when it started from such a young age, and when you're so young, like you don't have perspective on what's going on in other homes. Like even growing up, like if your parents are getting divorced, at the time it feels like your parents are the only parents that you know who are getting divorced.
Right, yeah.
But then we realize we grow up and like no one's parents are married anymore.
Yep.
I think for you guys, it's like it started at such a young age. You didn't have perspective on what other people had been through. And it's not that you thought, oh, this is normal, but maybe you didn't fully understand how wrong it was. Yep. And that's what was so hard for you to try and deal with it or speak up about it, is because like, well, this is kind of our normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Totally. I agree.
Yeah. I don't think that I've accepted it. It's not like one day I woke up and I was like, oh, I was molested multiple times. Okay. It was like, I started having, you know, really bad anxiety anytime me and my husband would try and be intimate, and I couldn't figure it out really why. And I would, you know, there was a time where me and an ex-boyfriend were having sex and I broke down just hysterically crying, and I just didn't really understand like why. And it's when I started like noticing myself break down in these times, and like, I don't know how to explain it, like
started seeing a pattern.
Yeah, I was like, why is this like every time? Like, let's be honest, sex is supposed to be fun, and like especially when now it's like, you know, I'm married and it's supposed to be like intimate and all this, and like a lot of times like I just feel anxiety, and like I don't, it brings back those feelings I had when our stepdad would do these things.
I think it's super common for that to happen around the time of like, there's someone I know very close to me who explained in that exact same way. You know, she was molested when she was young, and she's like, I just kind of feel like, not necessarily that like you forget about it, but you kind of just put it behind you. Mm-hmm. And then all the feelings do, they come up around the time that you start kind of being intimate with mm-hmm. other people, because it does make you question like, you know, am I feeling the right things? Is this right? Is this appropriate? And it's just, you have to kind of deal with all those things that you were thinking before.
Yeah. And I think too, and I don't know, this is like something I've like never told anybody, but like there have been times where like if me and like a past ex or whoever it was like started having sex, like I would literally like have like for real like flashbacks to like those moments of being abused and being touched like inappropriately. And I can't even explain it. Like I'm, you know, in my 20s now and I'm an adult and like whatever, but it would literally like, I would close my eyes and I would just feel like 5 again or however old, and like I could see him and I could feel him, and I can like, it like takes you just right back to that moment.
I think at least for me in those situations, I just want to go backwards a little bit. When I use the word acceptance, I don't mean accept that it happened to you and like think that it's okay. Just understand your history and then try to heal yourself, because like those things aren't okay. Like you don't have to like ever put it in your mind that like it happened to you like that. and like feel like what he did was okay, but you can accept the things that have happened to you and like move from them. Because like the only way that you know how to heal yourself, at least for me, is just know what you're trying to heal. So like understand that that happened to you, and then figure out what your next step needs to be, because it's different for everybody. But I don't think you need to like accept that he did it and think it's okay. Try to build yourself from it and try to like, yeah, just understand yourself and where you want to go from it, because like you're already building a beautiful life with somebody who does love you and somebody who does have patience. And I think like, I don't think that you have to look back at that time and feel like it's okay, but it's okay to like look at it and understand that it did happen to you and that there's things that you can do to heal yourself from it, you know? I don't know if that'll help you at all, but I just want to say that to you, at least right now.
You had talked earlier about how, you know, he would kind of rub your legs because you did sports and your legs were sore and stuff like that. Do you remember when it escalated to a point and like what happened that made you say, oh shit, this isn't just a caring dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, rubbing his son's legs because he's sore?
Yep. I remember for sure. Basically the same type of situation was happening. He was like rubbing my legs and rubbing my back. This was a time when I was doing football and track at the same time. Football was 2 a days and I was doing track in between. I remember getting home and then asking for a back massage because it was a regular thing. And I remember falling asleep in the massage, and I remember being woken up by something touching my anus. And he, like, when I had passed out, he had, like, touched me there with his finger. And I remember, like, jolting awake and just, like, having the most anxiety. Like, before there were questions, this was, like, the wake up, like, this is what's happening type of situation. And, yeah, that's when it was, like, that was already, like, when things were going downhill. Like, my mom and him were already, like, about to get divorced and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a cascading events, but like I was already pulling away from him at that time. And once that happened, it's so weird, like when even saying it, like it should be so obvious and like it was a mind opener, but like it happened and I wanted to get away and I did. And like, I just never revisited it in my mind until my partner asked me about it. So like when I looked back, there was a clear, like, this is a malicious act by somebody doing things that are completely inappropriate. There was like a switch.
And how did he react when you kind of like jolted up and was, cause like if, you know, like you reacted to what he was doing as though it wasn't right.
Well, one thing that stemmed from my interactions with him, who I am as an adult now, is I've learned to like, defend what I think is right, speak up, and like not be afraid to do that. Because going back, I didn't do that. I was like too afraid to. And in that situation, when it happened, I jolted awake and I remember just laying there and like just tensing my body and not wanting to move. And like he quit touching me, but like it's not like we discussed it. I like couldn't even like voice it to him. Like, did you just do that? Or like, what was that? Or like, it's like I woke up and I just remember like my heart pounding and like me just squeezing my eyes even tighter and just being like, what was that? You know? And it was like, yeah, just like the most uncomfortable thing. But yeah, I've never discussed it with him, or I mean, sort of I have. I've called him out on it, but I never discussed that exact situation with him.
Do you remember kind of when you feel like things went to another level with him?
I mean, I was just so much younger. Like I was saying earlier, just like waking up in the middle of the night and, you know, him being behind me and all of that happened a lot. I know he had like touched my crotch quite a few times, but I think he did it because he knew that I was so much younger And I don't know. I thought that was my dad.
Yeah.
I thought that he, like, it sounds sick now, but, like, I thought that he loved me and, like, wouldn't hurt me. So, like, what he was doing, I thought every little girl was going through that. And, yeah, and it was just something, when I was really confused, too, I remember, like, so, like, my stepdad was in my life, but then I also saw my dad. And so, like, I remember coming and, like, visiting my dad and, like, of course, like, my dad's not doing that. So I was just always really confused because I'm like, does stepdad love me more than my dad does because he doesn't do that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was just so confused, and being 4, 5, 6, having these thoughts is like mind fucking, because like, I don't really remember like a specific event where, because I was so young. And I moved in with my dad full time when I was 7 years old. So I was really fortunate enough to get out of that situation very young. But my abuse from him was always consistent. Like, it was always the same, if that makes sense. Like, nothing, it was never like penetration. Is that yeah. Okay to say? Like, it was never that. So I feel like if that was happen, I would have been like, you know, but it was always the same, like the rubbing, the touching.
Right. It was like a manipulation, yeah, into letting you think like this was okay. Like, this, that's what I was saying. Like, it wasn't like some movie style, like hold you down type of situation. Like, no. The whole thing felt like it was like out of love, and it was a manipulation. I totally thought it was fine, even though I felt uncomfortable, even though it didn't seem normal. It was like a total confusion. Like, it didn't seem so blatantly obvious as it does now as an adult.
Well, yeah. And but like, even, yeah, like even talking about it now, I still have like that heavy feeling on my chest that I did when that was occurring. Like, I can feel, like, you can feel that.
Well, I think too that it is a grooming process, obviously. So yeah, it starts out with smaller things. It starts out with the leg massages, and, you know, then, you know, putting his finger in your anus is like a step, and he saw that you reacted to that. Mm-hmm. So then I think what their mind says is like, or their manipulation is like, pull back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then work. Like, I think it's, they're always working up to the next level. And so with you, you know, moving out at 7, like, that's probably where, like, I feel like there was probably still a lot, that's the wrong thing to say, but a lot planned for you,
yeah,
but you were gone.
Yeah. Well, and we do have a younger sister who is his daughter, and I don't ever want to speak for her and her story or anything like that, but I know that what she's gone through, and like, is like, I mean, I'm not downplaying what I've been through, but like, what she's gone through is like something I could never even fathom myself. And like, the grooming that you were talking about, I know that he's done that with her. And I remember a year or two ago, and I don't know, you probably know this, but she would come home from seeing him and she would just be like, so just like quiet and just tense, like what you're talking about, and like, we would understand why. And then it's come out that, you know, the grooming, that's exactly what it is. He would caress her hair and, you know, bring his arm down her back, and it's just disgusting.
Made her feel completely not safe, uncomfortable constantly.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you guys finally open up to each other about what had happened?
Last year.
Last Christmas.
It was just kind of like a breaking, boiling point in my own life. And it stems back to my own father, my own biological father. Like I said, I didn't meet him until I was 23. And the story of how I was conceived has so much mystery wrapped around it. I don't think I will ever find the truth. I've asked my mom. She tells me one thing. I ask family members. It's completely different and opposite to that. I've asked people on his side of the family what happened. And I'm sick of it, man. Like, I've moved around a lot. I have no stability. I don't know, like, up until 23, I didn't know what races I was mixing. I didn't know my heritage. I don't know where I'm from. I don't know, like, my origin. I don't know anything about myself that many people get to, like, connect with in their culture or, like, anything like that. So in order to, like, find these answers, I finally just started talking to my mom and, like, just taking the blinders off and just telling her, like, this is going to be a rough conversation and I'm not going to hold back and I need to hear some answers. And I got some answers, but through that conversation, all of this stuff with the stepdad came up. And then it was like, also at the peak when our youngest sister was like, I don't want to be around him anymore. And I remember having like horrible gut-wrenching feelings telling my girlfriend, like, we need to protect her. Like, I feel like I failed both of my sisters by not standing up and talking. And like, because we've had so many men in and out of our house, I'm the only male in our family that stayed around. So I inevitably feel like the protector. And not only that, like, I've raised both of my sisters to the complete definition of that. I've woken up, changed diapers, I've walked them to school, I've bought them clothes, I support them now. I feel a role not only as brother, but like somebody who can give love and help and guidance. So when these really big things come out that were happening literally in the freaking next room or all of it, it all just kind of flooded. And yeah, last year we all just kind of shared our like darkest secrets, you know? So yeah, like 12 years after it happened is when we all could just sit down and talk about it. Well, 12 years for me, a couple years younger, you know, and then the youngest sister, she's 16 now, but through her life. So we all finally just kind of broke down, wanted truth, spoke up, and just kind of just searched what we thought would be the right thing to do. And we went through a bunch of things. Are we going to go to the cops? Are we going to just stay together as a unit? Are we like, what are we going to do? What is the best thing to do? Like, and it's not clear to anybody. You know what I mean? It's not like,
it's like that fear, at least for me. I just have that fear inside me because I haven't seen this man in so long. I feel like I don't know what I would do if I had to ever see his face or hear his voice ever again. And as much as we talked about it yesterday, we're like, do you know how easy it would be to go down to a police precinct right now with his record and everything and tell them our stories? Like, honestly, like, how easy it would be to like send him away. But then it's like, I'm scared. Like, I'm scared. And I know, too, I told my mom, not the details that I've, like, shared today, but I told her 3-4 years ago. I was like, hey, you know, he used to molest me. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And she was like, oh, no, there's no way. He would never do that to you. And, like, 1,000% shut me down. And so then I'm like, well, fuck, maybe she's right. Maybe that wasn't what it was. And maybe there's something else. And like, so then when he was home last Christmas and we had all talked about it, I was like, holy shit. I felt bad because like we said, we have a sister who's 16 who he had legal rights to see. And, you know, all this stuff that's come out that she's been through. It's like, I just feel like we should have been there to like protect her in a way more, like you were saying.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wanted to leave it all behind me, but
it was still actively happening.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was over for me, but I didn't really 100% accept or understand that it wasn't over for the people involved. And like, I've been living on my own since I was like 16, 17 on the streets. I've lived in cars. I've moved states. I've had such a transient lifestyle that once I like hit the streets and I realized like I could go anywhere, then like nothing's holding me here and I don't want to be around my family and I don't want to be involved in this lifestyle anymore. I can go create whatever life I want to experience. I left and I didn't come back for a long time. And it's hard to accept now and hard to like, yeah, I left, and it feels bad because I feel like I could have spoke up. I could have defended other people.
But I think that both of you guys need to realize that, like, you were children, you were victims, and it's not your guys' job to try and protect each other when you're just kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's... That's a parent's job.
Yeah.
Even now with your 16-year-old sister, like, you guys have to look out for yourselves. You can't be in charge of trying to look after everybody else. And I get what you're saying. Like, you were the only man in the house, you know? But it's, you can't put that pressure on yourself. That's an insane amount of pressure that you don't need. You're a victim of all of this.
I agree, and I totally see the validity in that. And I know that I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself, but it's hard not to put it on myself because my mom's not changing. And as much as I try to discuss with her the cycle and pattern that I see, and thinking that she needs to find her own independence and not need to have, like, to be with somebody and all of that, it just continues. There's, like, always somebody there. And even this year, like, this time last year, almost a year ago exactly, my mom met the person she's with now. And because we were having all these conversations, I asked her, like, can you not make part of the youngest sister's life? Like, if you want to date him, go on dates, go on vacations, just hold off. Don't bring him around the house. Don't introduce him to the youngest. Don't make his moral compass, like, what navigates her life. Like, just keep him separate. And she's about to go to college. Like, just wait a little while, feel him out, like, see what he's actually like. Like, how is he when shit's bad? You know what I mean? And the second I left, like, we talked about it for 2 months. I was here with my family discussing this for 2 months. I, like, came down here and tried to make an entire, like, case for my mom and work with her on it. And a month after I left, he was staying at my mom's house. They were going to dinner regularly with my youngest sister, and now they have a house together. Like, they live together. It's just the exact same pattern. So it's really difficult to be like, it's not on my shoulders, it's on my mom's. And, like, yeah, it is, but it's like, it's not changing. So somebody needs to put their foot down. Somebody needs to, like, take that responsibility and do something with it. Because the people that it is on, for whatever reason, like, they're not taking that. They're, like, setting it aside. So it's hard to just accept it and watch nothing change.
Well, I think, too, last year was when our youngest sister was finally comfortable enough to come out with not everything, but a lot of shit that she has gone through, which, if you know her, she's extremely shy. She's always got her nose in a book. Like, she's extremely intelligent and, like, intellectual. She got the brains of the family.
Yeah, totally. She's real smart.
But, so, like, this was a time where, yeah, she came out and was like, I want to talk about this. And, like, we were all kind of coming together as siblings with, like our pain and, like, what we've gone through is, like, was kind of, like, bringing us together. And, like he said, like, he was gone for a long time. And I do think that, like, has affected me more than I think I realized until, like, talking about it. But, like, I don't want to cry. But, like, we were finally, like, one. And then it's, like, right back to where we were. And, like, I think a lot of our pain does stem from, like, our mom. And I don't want to put her on blast. But, like, we are back in the beginning of that cycle of, like, where we were with the man that abused us. Not saying that this guy would, but...
No, it's just awkward. It's always something, you know, it's always meeting somebody new, introducing somebody. How are you going to be involved with our family? Are you, like, going to be the same monster that my mom tends to, like, to date? And, yeah, it's just, like, hard at this point, after so many people, to give this new person the benefit of the doubt. Even though, like, I want to and give him patience and stuff, it's hard not to look at him with, like, a squinty eye and be like, okay, where are you going to mess up? You know,
scrutinize everything.
It's, like, hard not to want to have my finger on the trigger of, like, an airplane ticket all the time to know that I'm going to come back and have to, like, defend or fix or move or, like, something, because it feels like a lot of that stuff doesn't happen when I'm here. Because last year, the one good thing that came out of all of us talking was my mom finally took our youngest, like, away from her biological father. She took him to court. She has full custody now. He has no legal right to, like, have her anymore. So that aspect seems nice, but it definitely happened because we all came together and we all made it a thing. And it wasn't, my mom couldn't turn a blind eye anymore. We all were on the same page. We were all there for these discussions. It wasn't like, oh, well, this person said that. No. We don't really know. It was like tears and screaming and like, it's heavy. It was super heavy. And the good thing that came out of it is she pulled him away. But yeah, it doesn't work like that when we're all doing our own thing.
What was your mom's reaction to everything that all three of you were saying to her?
It's like something she's never heard before. I think that our mom has, and I feel really defensive for our mom, and I don't know why, but I see her faults. She's truly like very fucked up in the head, like being blunt, like she will sit here and argue with you that the sky is pink when really we all know it's blue. Like she will convince, you know what I mean? Like that's just her. But like, I don't know how to like explain it.
My mom or our mom didn't have like a white picket fence upbringing. No. She comes from, her biological dad was a grand dragon in the KKK. That's why we got kicked out of the family when I was born. So when that happened, we were shunned. And her, like, as much as it sounds crazy, my mom is 1,000 times better than her parents. Her dad used to staple her fingers to the table and, like, beat the living hell out of them and, like, do things that are unimaginable to our existence. So as messed up as our mom sounds, as lost and as whatever, she is 1,000,000 times better than where she came from. And it's hard to like truly bring that into your own formula of understanding, because her existence was the definition of hell. And then she got excommunicated from them, which it was horrible for her at the time, but the best thing that's ever happened. And yeah, she's messed up, but anybody that would go through that's messed up. And she, to give her the benefit of the doubt, does love us, does want the best for us. And it's just like, she is like we're dealing with our own crap. She is dealing with her own crap. And who my mom was when it was just me to who my mom is now, she's completely different. She's grown a lot. She has so much more patience. She's like so, like now sometimes she does sound quick to anger, but not like when it was. And like my mom used to be like fierce. Like the complete absolute definition of like a lion. My mom would just like rip someone apart. And now she's like way softer and like calmer. And like, I mean, she's not a fully put together human being, but she has got a lot of the pieces back from the depths and is like, she is trying. Just because it's not the best doesn't mean that she doesn't want the best for us. So it's I think
that's hard for like people in our lives to understand too.
For sure.
Like why, like, my husband, it's really hard for him to understand because I am always defending my mom, but it's like, I understand where she came from, and yes, I know what she's put us through, and yes, I know she's crazy, but at the same time, like he said, like, she's 1,000,000 times better than what she had, but then at the same time, like, she does paint this picture in her head, I think, of, like, what she grew up with and what she wished she had and what she wished happened.
Yeah, for sure. She's painting her own picture and wanting it to be there. And
so to go back to your question, when you asked how she reacted, it was like she had never heard it before and like didn't understand because she's painted this picture in her head. Like for me personally, like when all of this shit happened, I pushed it in the back of my head. I knew it happened, but I just pushed it in the back of my head. Whereas, like, our mom was like, that didn't happen, this happened. And, like, told herself that so many times to where, like, she believed it.
My mom has a really hard time accepting that stuff.
Yeah.
Just period. She doesn't want to see that it happened, and I can understand that. We all have had our own form of not accepting or looking at the situation. So yeah, when she heard it, she just broke down crying, obviously, and she felt bad and still does. Like, she does apologize a lot. She goes through her period of times where she says that she was a great mom and she like feels really good about it, but then there's times where she just like kind of cuts the bullshit and just apologizes and knows. So it's like she's trying, but yeah, in that situation it seemed like it was the first time she heard it, and it's not exactly true 100%.
Do you remember, so you had moved in with your dad, but do you remember when he started to or finally left the picture?
Yeah, for sure. I was 16 years old. My mom was married to him for 6 years. She left because it was getting bad. And yeah, my mom had me when she was 19. So this was the first time that she was ever in a position to where she could just leave. And the middle sister who's with me now, she went to her dad so she had a safe place to be. And the youngest, that guy is her biological dad, so she was with her parent. And I was just kind of free-floating, and I got, like, kicked out, essentially. Like, he met a new woman, and within 2 months of knowing her, married her. I wasn't invited to the wedding, and one day I came home with all my stuff on the porch. So it was, like, fast transitions immediately to, like, to where I am now, but it all happened immediately. And my mom, I didn't know where she was at for like a year. She just kind of pieced. Like, we knew she was in Arizona and like we could contact her on the phone, but like where she was at, what she was doing and stuff like that was not clear. And also the stepdad was also feeding me incredible lies, like she was a junkie and she was like homeless and stuff, which granted, my mom's not perfect. My mom does not do that stuff. My mom now drinks like one beer if she's gonna drink, and it's like has never done any drug ever in her life. So like it painted this picture that like my mom like left us and is like now some homeless junkie, you know?
So your mom and him, they break up, your mom disappears, and
I'm just in this random ass family with a stepdad and a stepmom, and her kids moved in, and I'm just there, and no one wants me there.
She couldn't do it, I guess.
Yeah, she wanted to be a kid.
Yeah, and so he was stuck living with the stepdad and his new family. Yeah.
So you're completely alone living with the man who's been abusing you.
Yeah. That's when I found my fire. I quit fearing. I quit. I realized really quick that nobody was there for me. And I didn't let it crush me. I realized I didn't need to ask permission for anything. I could do whatever I wanted. It was back to survival. And I'm good at that. And I did. I survived. I found friends immediately. I found work. I dropped out of high school. I was living on a friend's couch. I was like friends' moms would give me a place to live. I was fucking pawning everything I owned to survive. I sold everything. It was rough, but also it was a shit ton of fun. I'll be completely honest. I was 16 years old, living in a car with one of my best friends, smoking weed and traveling. Like, it sucked. And it wasn't, like, the best situation, but, like, I'm naturally lighthearted. I'm used to it to be rough. My friends are all gutter punks. We all come from some shitty upbringing. We know how to just, like, hop into a car, say F it, and have fun, slam the music, forget about it. And so we did for a long time. I literally showed up to my house one day. All of my shit was on the front porch. The door was locked. No one was home. And it was just, like, you didn't even discuss it with me. So we took all that stuff and we just pawned it. Got a bunch of weed, sold that for gas and food, and that's what we did for a while until I saw a little glimpse of light, basically.
It just makes me, like, so sad. Like, I feel like I had a lot of innocence growing up. Like, maybe I was naive or something like that, but it always just makes me so incredibly sad to hear the story of someone who's just like 16 is not, you're not old, you're not an adult.
You're a baby.
And just, there's so much innocence that should be in your life and things that you should be not be experiencing.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that just, that's the part that just breaks my heart the most, is you're just kicked to the curb and forced to grow up and do these things on your own.
Yeah, for sure. The feeling of not being wanted was heavy for a long time. I remember when we first got together, my girlfriend and I used to tell her all the time, how are you going to love me? My own mom doesn't want to love me. My own dad doesn't want to be around. Like, why am I worth your love? You know? And, dude, shit, I still work on being enough for myself. And I know I am. That's like the psychological bullshit that comes with it. I know I'm enough. I'm a fully formed human being and an adult. I own a truck. I freaking have a house. I pay for everything. I'm totally fine. I'm completely capable. And I still, sometimes I look in the mirror and I just think, God, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You're not accomplishing anything. You're not worth anything. What are you doing? And it's like a constant thing with me where I have to remember, like, it's okay. I'm totally enough. I'm full of love. And I'm not going out into the world intentionally putting anything malicious out. Like, I'm a good person. And it's so annoying because I do see that I'm a good person. But, like, there's something in the back of my head that is always questioning if I'm, like, good enough. So then that's...
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
And I don't... I'm sure it doesn't mean much. So... I was really nervous to meet you just because I don't know you. Yeah. I know your sister, and it's hard to meet anyone new. I don't like meeting new people. And you walked in the door, and I was like, okay. Like, I don't need to be nervous. Like, I really like this guy. And then, like, sitting here, like, listening to you talk and stuff and, like, getting to look at you, which is not something, like, with my podcast, I don't get to do that often. It's always over the computer, and I just stare at my computer screen, and I don't even see their face or anything like that. Getting to know you, like, I feel such a strong connection to you. Like, I'm not gonna go as far as to say I love you. I don't know you enough to say I love you, but I do. Like,
I love you.
I do, though. Like, I just, like, you're such a good person, and you're such, you've got such a great spirit about you, and I just think that that makes me sad because I wish that you could see that.
Thank you.
You know, like, I'm an asshole. Like, I don't need people to love me right away. But just, you don't have that. Like, you just have such a great way about you. And it's sad that to hear you talk, and, like, in a very short period of time, I feel very, very connected to you. And I have so many strong feelings towards you.
Thank you.
And it makes me sad that you have times where you think that you're not lovable.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I definitely try to take that and just put it in stride. Like, I try to remember to tell all of my friends, like, I love you, you're enough. And I just try to reflect that to other people, because I realize that if I would have just heard that more growing up, even through all that shit, it would have helped a lot. And that's, like, definitely some good that I brought from it, just remembering to tell people, like, you're an awesome human being, even if you're, like, messing everything up, you know? It's like, you're great. Just keep doing you. Like,
for me too, a lot of that, the stuff that the stepdad has caused in our lives and will forever be there, is like that self-doubt and like all of that. And I'm not just saying this because I'm your sister, but I don't even think you understand. You're literally the best human on this planet.
Okay. Pump those brakes. Pump those brakes.
No, you really are.
All right. Really? Gross.
No. Like, you really are. Like, I don't think that you understand. Like, I'm sitting here, like, listening to you talk about, like, your story and, like, when you were on the streets and, like, living with friends. And, like, for me, I feel really bad because I've just been wondering these 10 years, like, where was my brother? And, like, to hear, like, that's what you're going through is, like, just really sad. I just love you a lot.
I love you too. I appreciate it so much. I understand it, my story sounds crazy, but to me, my story is like still like not that bad. I've traveled a lot. I've been to third world countries. I've seen so much stuff to realize that suffering is universal. Everybody suffers in their own way. And like, if we could all just like accept that and not try to compare each other's suffering, that we could all just like give each other a little bit more of a break than we do, because the richest cry at night and the poorest cry at night, and everybody's a human being, and everybody feels the same emotions. And yeah, just give the people some space to breathe and some acceptance, and you're gonna find out that everybody's story is incredible. So it's like, yeah, just grow from your shit. And that's what I'm trying to do really hard, is to not like allow it to hold me back, but to be open and have more patience and to accept people for their faults, because I see mine, you know?
But give that to yourself too. Because yeah. I think you want to try and accept and love everyone else, but you're not always giving that.
I know.
To yourself.
I'm super hard on myself.
But you're not hard on other people.
I know. That's what she tells me all the time. My girlfriend's constantly just like, just give yourself a break. Like, you give everyone a break. Like, it's fine. You can justify anybody else's wrongdoings and da 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 da. It's like, I know. I'm trying. I really am. And it's, I think with other people, I've turned it into muscle memory to be able to like, okay, slow down, pause, think about it. But when things are going with me, it's like knee jerk reactions. Like, I feel this way. It's like that. There's like, I mean, it's like with anything, when you're looking at somebody else's whatever, third person, it's like you're pulled back enough to be able to think. And when it's your own life, sometimes it's like a cocktail of emotions that isn't so clear when you're in the middle of it.
So kind of leads me to my second to last question for you guys. I'm curious about what type of long-lasting effects have you seen in your own life from growing up with this man? Where do you guys struggle in relationships? Where do you struggle like connecting with people and, you know, connecting with yourself and loving yourself?
Being so young, being made to feel so worthless, so young, and like confused, I feel like that's stayed with me. And I don't know, I struggle with in relationships now, even not just with my husband, but like intimacy, even obviously if it's not sexual, like it's really hard for me to open up to people, like literally the hardest thing for me. And I've lost a lot of friends because of it, because I'd rather just say fuck off. I don't want to talk to you about my life story and this and that, and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, it's costing me a lot of relationships. Like, that's hard, and I think that's something that I do need to like honestly like go to therapy for or something, because it's gonna affect me. I feel like this session has helped a lot. I don't
know. Trust. I don't trust people, and I'm not secretive about that. Whether it's like business or whatever, I let people know, like, I'm this way. I don't trust, like, you know, I want everything done in writing. I want receipts. I want shit, because it's like people can justify doing incredibly malicious acts to another human being for their own means and end. And if you're going to do that to me, I want you to at least like square up, look me in the eyes and tell me that you did it. And that's fine. We can go from there. But I hate having to catch somebody in a lie and feel like I'm some like adult or an parent or something like that, you know? So it's like, definitely trust. Trust is a big issue in my life.
Okay. So my last question, because it's a good question, it's a happy question, is just where are you guys both at right now in life? Like, what are the good things going on for the both of you?
I got a lot of good things going on. I was going to say,
you're crushing it, kid.
Married. I got a baby on the way. Got a lot of really awesome people in my life. I feel good. I feel good.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like I said, I'm accomplished now. I went from living on the streets multiple times in my life to we got a horse, we got a dog, we got a truck, we have a house. I do whatever I want whenever I want. Like, I've managed to keep a transient mentality about my life while holding it in one situation, creating and taking care of a family and being able to, like, give my family love and trust and openness and communicate as much as possible. And I'm far from perfect, but I mean, my girlfriend and I, we can talk about anything. There's no subject that's off putting. There's no lines anywhere. And yeah, as far as like I've worked on so much of myself that, like, even though sometimes I question my worth, I know that I'm a good person. And like, that alone is huge. Because when I met her, I used to tell her all the time, I'm a piece of shit. You don't want to be with me. Why would you want to be with a piece of shit? And now I never call myself that. And not even like think it and stop. It's like, that's not even a thought. I know I'm not that. That's a fact, you know? So a lot of growth and realization has come, and a lot of ability. Like, from all my survival situations, I know I can make anything happen from any situation. Even if I don't want to go through it, like, I'm going to make it. And it's going to be okay. I'm going to figure anything out. So I'm capable, and that feels good. It feels good to have, like, to know I can rely on myself, to know that I can make things happen, and that's good, and it feels really good to know that.
Obviously, this podcast is not listened to by young people, like children, but I think that there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who were once children, who have been through situations that are not the same as yours but similar to. And I'd be curious to know, if you had an opportunity to talk to yourself, the child who was going through all of this stuff as you are now and as an adult and stuff, you know what? God, shut the fuck up. What would you say to yourself?
That's fucking hard. Kill him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of my own things that I think that I would have gone back and said, I've learned as an adult.
But you have to go through those things to learn.
Yeah. I'm also, like, on the cusp of, like, weird ideologies. Like, I'm spiritual. I meditate a lot. I've gone to retreats. I've gone to sweat lodges. I've talked with, like, Apache elders to figure out, like, well, just so you know, I'm Apache, Navajo, and Spanish. So I went to, like, my culture to figure out, like, who I am, what those people would do to find themselves. And through the years, I've, like, tried to find my own truths. And I think that, like, if I were to say anything to myself, it would just be, like, just stay strong. And it's okay to break down, but, like, you're gonna make it through. And, like, even though it's, like, dark and scary, like, you're gonna make it, you know? And but, like, with a smile and a new, like, understanding of that. It's like, I don't know if I could tell myself anything that would change anything other than my own understanding. And I think that if I could just, like, tweak my own perspective and not be so dark and so hard on myself, I would try to figure that statement out. Like, if I knew I was going back in time, I would spend a lot of time to, like, memorize a paragraph of, like, you're gonna make it and it's gonna be freaking awesome. Like, you're a part of this roller coaster and the highs are high and the lows are low, but it's epic, dude. Life is beautiful. And I've been a lot of places. I've been to the tops of mountains. I've been to Peru, Colombia. Like, I've seen things. I've been on, like, 40 mile treks. I've accomplished so much that, like, I wouldn't tell myself anything that would change my trajectory. I'm, like, comfortable with who I am, and I like who I am. So, like, all I would do is try to give myself a hope. Better perspective. Not yeah. Hope. Hope is a cage. Acceptance is freedom. Like, I don't want to hope. Well, that comes into
I said, and I was like, damn, he's going to roast me.
I just feel like you're in control of your life, and hoping is, like, putting it out to something else. Well, I hope something out there changes something in my life. I'm more about like, I need to change my life so I'm happier. Take control of my life, like my own shit. And that's not my own understanding. My girlfriend is incredible with stuff like that. Helps me realize like, no matter what, you're in control of your own life and nothing is permanent and you can change anything. And like, we constantly are telling ourselves that stuff all the time, which helps in our own relationship too, because we've been together for 6 years now. And sometimes we're like, oh man, it's like heavy. We're like together and like, we're both really young. And like, what are we going to do? We're both children too. And like, and then we're like, okay, chill out. We both are in control of our own lives. Nothing's permanent and everything can be changed and we'll work around anything. So just realizing that you're in control of your life, stop allowing anybody else to control you, and then don't stop there, like actually take the reins, like actually take responsibility for your life. Doing that is like the most empowering thing that I've done anyway.
It sounds really crazy, and but I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't go back if I could and tell myself something to change it, because it's the worst. I think one of like the hardest things, heaviest things, worst things I've gone through, but I love who I am now, and I'm not perfect, but I love my life. I love who I have in my life. I love my husband. I love my baby on the way. I love my friends and family, and like it sounds sick and disgusting, but like without what had happened, like we wouldn't be where we're at, and I love where I'm at, and I know that it's because of...
That's acceptance.
I think I just did it, guys.
Yeah, man. If you can love yourself, who you are now, and you realize like it's all a formula. Like everything that happened then is what produces now. And if you like who you are now, rock it. Knock it out of the park. And if you don't like something, change it. You're in control.
Well, I think the biggest advice, something that I really do always tell myself, like one time I called my brother and I couldn't tell you what it was about. I was probably bitching about something. You had told me that nothing in this life is permanent. Nothing in this life is forever. And I feel like I'd go back and tell myself that. I'd be 5 years old and be really fucking confused, but like one day it'd make sense. Just be like, nothing is forever. Because I even like in my hardest times, like I'm like, okay, nothing is forever. Like in good times, it makes me soak things in more, and in bad, it gets me through it.
I really hope and pray that this interview finds its way to the person who needs to hear it the most, because I know that out there, somewhere, someone is struggling, and I just want them to know that they aren't alone, and that they can get through this. Thank you guys for listening.
Everybody has a secret.